Okay, I'm Kathleen Thies, and I have been working with these folks on rolling out care coordination for since January 2014, and I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So we're going to talk today a little bit more about the transition care template. As Deb was mentioning, it took a while for us to try to figure out how the nurses were going to know who the patients were that had been discharged from the hospital. You would think that would be easy to do. It was actually very difficult, but because Nick is so brilliant, and I can't tell you enough, you know, how valuable Nick and his team have been, we were able to start identifying that. But once we did that, the nurses said, well, if we're going to do transition care, we need some kind of a really simple checklist just to go down through and when we talk to the patient, when we call them. And there were all different parts of what you would need to talk to a patient about on that first phone call in different parts of the record, but the nurses said, can you put it in one place? Because I don't want to jump around. I need to be able to see it in one place. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So first, let me just explain a little bit about transition care, if you're not familiar with it. It's really been identified as a patient safety and quality issue because patients get lost in that gap between leaving the hospital or a rehab center and returning home. You know, who owns them in that gap? And hospitals have been trying to do a lot of work with preparing patients to go home, but I spent several years before coming to a federally qualified health center on the hospital side, and I can tell you the hospitals aren't doing such a great job either, and it's like get them in, get them out, patients can't hear what's going on. So the idea is that the patient has contact with their PCP within 48 to 72 hours post-discharge, and then with a follow-up appointment with the PCP. So we can see that Medicare patients, you know, 20% are readmitted. A lot of that's preventable. A lot of that is because of multiple comorbidities. And Medicaid patients, which is the majority of our patients, 24% end up back in the hospital. And one of the differences with the federally qualified health center patients and the Medicaid patients is they tend to be younger. And also because it's not only do they have multiple comorbidities, but they tend to also have a lot of other complex issues, unmet psychosocial needs that are making it difficult for them to manage their health, and if they have been discharged from the hospital, to then be able to make that transition successfully and not go into the hospital. And transition care especially is becoming important as Medicaid is being expanded to more people whose health needs have not been met, who have multiple chronic diseases that are poorly managed, but most importantly, who have no experience really navigating a healthcare system. So that primary care nurse that they should know can step into that gap between hospital and home. Now, I should point out that our nurses who do this are primary care nurses. They are not nurse care coordinators with nurse care coordination being their only job. They are doing this as part of their role as primary care nurses. So they are managing a lot of things during the day in addition to doing this work. So we want to make sure that you understand that that's the model that we saw, because we thought the patients already know these nurses. And if the nurse calls them, they know who the nurse is. There are pluses and minuses to that, but that's the model we have. So transition care, if you're not familiar with it, Mary Naylor and I can't remember Coleman's first name, are two of the best known models. Coleman was working out of a hospital. He's a physician and looking at what the transition process needed to be in the hospital. Mary Naylor has been working primarily with very frail elders and sending nurse practitioners into the community in their homes to do the management. But there were no models for primary care, the people who are receiving the patients, not the people who are sending the patients out. So to develop this template, the nurses, and especially this was the nurses, as Deb pointed out, we had this step wedge design. And so it was really the nurses in that first couple of cohorts who were getting into doing this work who said, you got to help us out here. And so we met with them and with Nick and the other members of his team, and we developed a template, a clinical decision support tool. It works in eClinical Works, which is our EHR, and so that our EHR is designed to be able to do this. The template is not interoperable with hospitals or with any other providers at this time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think that this is a national issue with computer systems not talking to each other, or at least not talking in the same language. But at least we have it within ourselves. So we looked at the domains that Naylor and Coleman had developed. There were a lot of similarities in the work that they were doing. And then we looked at, okay, so how do we take their domains and how do we structure it for domains that are going to work in primary care? It's a lot of the same things, certainly medications, so doing that med rec and then doing self-management care of medications, some teaching. Follow-up, do you have an appointment with your PCP, your primary care, your specialist? What's your discharge plan? Is the VNA involved? Have they called you? No. Do you want me to call them for you? Red flags. I was admitted with congestive heart failure. I'm coming home. Do I know? Do we need to? We need to make sure the patient understands. If this happens, the red, yellow, and green zones. If you hit yellow, this is when you need to call us. If you're hitting red, you should have called us. But if you're in the red zone, you better get to the hospital. Being nurses, Coleman did not ask this question, but nurses said, well, what's their self-care capacity in going home? Can they climb stairs? Do they have somebody to take care of them? And then all of this is structured data, and then some free text in order to say, so what are you most worried about? Because what we might be most worried about is not what that patient is most worried about. We might be worried about their medications. They're worried about, well, there's really nobody at home here. So the medications is not their primary concern. It might be ours, but it's not theirs. And so the nurse also has a chance to be able to talk to them. Do you have transportation, et cetera? So we mapped all of these things. We did several trial drafts. We sent it out to people. We had it in the EHR in sort of the playground. People were practicing on it. This was too long, this was too much. I mean, we wanted to have enough questions to be comprehensive enough to be able to start a care plan, but not so many questions that this was taking a long time, because the people just got out of the hospital, and these are very busy nurses. So the idea was for it to be, to take them about, well, I guess I didn't have it in here. I thought I did. For it to take them about 10, 20 minutes tops to be able to do this with a patient. Why? Because everything is in 20-minute segments in primary care. This isn't open-ended. The nurse has between 10 and 10:20 to call this patient, because at 10:20 they have a patient coming in for a visit. So that's what I mean. It had to be quick enough, but with enough information to be able to prompt them to provide care. So this is a screenshot of where what it looks like, and the nurse clicks on these, and it is. It's a click. Yes, no. And with some areas for free text. But the idea was to be able to get enough structured data that we could then run some reports on it. These are just examples about the medication questions. Were they reviewed? And the idea is, what we have found is the patients don't know their medications when they're coming out. But the idea was for at least the nurse to put no, so that it would prompt to go back. And then to be able to go down through the rest of it. And we wanted some of this information because we thought, if patients aren't picking up their prescriptions, it might be interesting for us to know why. Because if we find out that 10% can't pick up their medications because they don't have a ride, then that's something we need to do about, something to do about. So it's located under our RN care coordination as a transition template. Again, it takes about 10 to 20 minutes. They practiced it depending on the patient. Should prompt people with the nurse with follow-up questions, and we can extract that data. We looked at usability. I mean, this is about health information technology. When we were developing it, we looked at some of the standards for usability. I've been in touch with Amy Franklin at the University of Texas, who does a lot of work in this area, and we've gone back and forth with several people about usability. And we're trying to get some of that data. And then this is some information about usability evaluation that we worked with the nurses. We have not given out this survey completely to everybody yet, but we did go through this as the nurses were developing it. So it went live in January. We got delayed. You may remember there were a lot of snowstorms last winter, so we ended up having to delay a lot of training really until the spring. Now, I have here it's been accessed 52 times, which is disappointing. I want you to cross that out because Nick was able to get some more data for me the other day, and it's not so disappointing. It's actually very encouraging. I mean, we have hundreds of patients who are being discharged, but when we were able to narrow it down just this past week, the nurses in those initial cohorts who helped develop it are the ones who are using it the most, and they really like it. And so the issue is with the 52, we don't know yet how many patients they called but couldn't get a hold of. They didn't get enough information to be able to call the patient. So that's sort of the next phase of things we need to look at. We also know that patients don't always know the answer, and so the nurse may not be able to finish that question. So obviously these are the fields in terms of their completion thus far. And we're actually very encouraged. At first we were disappointed, now we're encouraged. So, because we feel like the nurses are really happy with it. Again, it's really barriers to outreach to the patients that we need to deal with more than the template. The template seems to be fine. It's getting to the patients, and there's a whole lot of reasons why we're not maybe getting to those patients. And we're going to be doing some follow-up with chart reviews. So questions? I was talking very fast. Yes?
How much was your initial investment? I mean, how much did you have to put into it? And are you putting into your ROI? And how did you go about it?
Well, this was meetings with the nurses, so a lot of it was personnel time. I don't know if I could put a dollar sign on that because we were doing this as part of our rollout for care coordination, and meeting time had been scheduled for us to do some of these meetings. And then Nick and his team, this is how good our team is. I said, Nick, how long do you think this is going to take you to do? You know, I mean, I've dealt with IT departments in a lot of places. He said, I don't know, I'm pretty busy. And I said, you know, I was waiting. And he said, 2 weeks? I mean, 2 weeks? I almost fell over. My God. You know, it's a miracle worker. So, I mean, he said it didn't really take them. They just, if you want to answer, how long did it take you?
Yeah, it really wasn't that long.
He's very modest. Yes.
Are you looking at this in terms of the large percentage of your Medicaid and with the federal district activity and the 25% reduction in hospitalization? Is this part of your transitioning to that?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, eventually, I mean, this is one of the challenges. You've got real-time clinical care documentation over here, and then you've got population management. And trying to find where we're going to, the middle is going to be, because you get people seeing patients one at a time under a clock, and they're working very hard, and we have some wonderful nurses, and they know these patients well. But trying to translate some of that, especially from an IT point of view, into really good population management, I mean, I think everybody is coming up against that. And I don't think that's unique to us. But I think what is encouraging is that we're really doggedly going after that. How are we going to make this work? How are we going to make this work? How do we make it better? we will get there. I think we're actually, we like to think we're ahead of a lot of people.
I know you said that this was not interoperable with the hospital.
No.
But are there plans to roll it out to other federally qualified?
Well, That's a good question. I think that actually Mary and I are presenting at the American Ambulatory Care Nurses Association meeting next May. We have like a two-hour session, and we're going to be talking about some of that then. So you can meet us there. It's in Palm Springs. But we have a whole framework that we use to roll out the care coordination, how we're evaluating it. I mean, this is just a little sliver of the work that we've been doing. And phase one was that 18 months. We're now in a phase two. This is going to take a couple of years to really get. I mean, this isn't something that happens overnight. But, I mean, we're meeting all the time. What do we need to do next? What do we need to fix? How can we do that better? I mean, all the time. So, any other questions? And I will hand this over to Mary.